Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout, hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying,
what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I beg you one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
This is Continuing for Truth Radio, the American Sovereignty Radio Show. We have got a great show lined up for you tonight. Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama, Dan Wilson in Florida, and I, Scott Osborne, here in Mesquite, Texas. Going to talk a little bit about taxes and tax reform and the fair tax. You know, one of the main veins of the Herman Cain campaign was that incredible 80,000-page tax code. That was designed to be non-transparent. If you imagine a mixing board, if you ever seen a mixing board in a studio with all kinds of buttons all over it, and you turn a little dial this, and you turn a little dial that, and you can adjust things, but there's so many dials. Once you turn one, you got to kind of adjust another one. That's the way I kind of picture this 80,000-page tax code. And the problem is with the non-transparency, with a little tiny little change, Congress can affect your taxes, and nobody ever knows about it. And I've been a firm believer. I was for 999. I'm for fair tax. I'm for time for flat tax, time for whatever, starts with, as I told Dan Hughes as I was introducing myself to him when at the beginning of his campaign, if it starts with get rid of the current 80,000-page tax code, wipe it out, burn it. I am all for some redistribution of the wealth, folks. Let's take that 80,000-page tax code and let's burn it and have a great big marshmallow bonfire and redistribute some marshmallows to everybody in the United States of America. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to have a great time doing that, talking about the fair tax, which, kiddingly, I said I support all those. I'm a firm believer in the fair tax. Number one, it's already written. The bill's already there, which is huge. It makes sense. It is fair. And it would absolutely wipe out the problem of the non-transparency, as well as some other problems. A business has a real hard time when they're not confident in what's going to happen with the taxes next year in hiring people. And that lack of confidence slows down our economy. There's a million reasons why it needs to be changed. There's a million reasons why the IRS needs to be gone. The IRS is a mess, and it's getting worse. The administration is using the IRS as a tool, as a weapon against groups. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And it's a good night to talk about the IRS and the tax code. And so that is what we are going to do. We got some great things coming up. I want to announce ahead of time next week. I'm very excited about our guest, Orlene Kohler. Orlene was one of the first people. She's been a stalwart in fighting against Common Core. She wrote the book. Common Core, A Trojan Horse. A long time before anybody knew what Common Core actually was. She's the president of California Eagle Forum, which I have a big respect for. Those Eagle Forum ladies doing a lot of great things under the leadership of the great Phyllis Schlafly. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to do that next week. We're going to have Orlene come on, and we're going to talk about Common Core. We're going to talk about what has happened in the last couple of years since we had Common Core, since we've known about Common Core, let's put it that way. When I talked to Orlene last on Conservatives Coast to Coast, Bob Green and I talked with her, 5% of the country knew what Common Core was. And now the whole bunch of people know what it is. There's still a lot of people that don't. I still talk to people from time to time that say, what is Common Core? I've never heard of that before. So we got a lot of work to go, but the country is not blind to it anymore. And so I'm really looking forward to next week when we have Orlene Kohler. Our guest this week is Chuck Bailey. He is the president of the Alabama Fair Tax. And he's going to discuss Unfair the Movie as well, that has to do with the IRS and the things that are going on in the tax code. So it's going to be a great show. And with that, I've got Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama, and I've got Dan Wilson down in the great state of Florida. And so we're going to pass it around to them for some opening remarks. We'll have Chuck coming on with us about 9:30 tonight, Central Time, 10:30 Florida time, and, of course, that's 7:30 California time. So we look forward in about 10-20 minutes to Chuck joining us. But until then, we're going to have some discussion. So Jennifer Montrose, you're down there in Alabama, where Chuck is from. The Alabama, the state that fights, man. I'm going to tell you, there's always a fight going on down there. Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. We've got the sinus stuff that seems to be going around, and it caught me. So I'm hoping that I'm on the other side of this and it's going to get better. But I'm really excited that we're having Chuck today to come on the show tonight. He's very, very actively involved. One of the things that I like about Chuck is, he pays attention to the candidates that are running for office. He wants to find solid candidates that are supporting, abolishing the IRS. And the fair tax, I think, is by far the best thing out there that I have seen, that where there's a bill already in place in office. And we have Alabama, Gulf Shores, Mobile, Trussville, Tuscaloosa, Huntsville, and there's some other locations to be determined. But they're going to be doing a simulcast at 7 p.m. Central Time in over 680 theaters across the United States. And you can actually, if you want to, and well, Chuck will explain all this stuff, but it's just really an interesting and neat way, you know, to get the word out about this. And he said they're picking up speed on this subject matter. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what Chuck has to say about what's been happening with Fair Tax. And I know, you know, we had a lot going on with Herman Cain and his 999 plan, and there was just so much momentum that was where we were talking about abolishing the IRS. And I'm glad to see that the subject matter has not died, that it's still out there. Because I think, you know, it may put some people out of business, you know, in D.C., but, you know, I think the alternative is a lot better one than what we have now. So, you know, I think the fair tax is a good thing. Dan?
Well, yeah, I agree, Jennifer. We definitely need to get rid of this 80,000-page monstrosity. This has prevented corporate America from really hiring anybody for between Obamacare and this. Companies don't know how much to budget for new employees. So it's impossible them, for them to figure out doing their quarterly and annual projections that they have to send to their shareholders. So what they have to do right now is hold back, even though they want to grow. Corporate America can't right now. And see, this is what this administration does not understand. See, is that what they do, and they're just trying to take us out? I'm not really sure. But when in economics, for every dollar you take away for in taxation is a dollar removed from the economy. And that's a dollar weaker that the economy is. And when you're taking 40% taxes away from corporate America, they can't reinvest that. That's money that's gone to them. So they can't reinvest it in building their company and in country and producing more jobs on the manufacturing and R&D end of things. And this is our big problem right now. So to solve the problem and continue on with the growth of the company, you're forced to go offshore, where taxes are lower. And then you lose jobs, and you have the situation we're in right now. Yet this administration wants to blame it on corporate America, when in fact, it's not corporate America that's doing it. It's the federal government. And if the government were actually smart, they would lower taxes. And through the increases in employee taxes that they will be collecting, you know, through FICA and other taxes that, you know, every employee pays, they would actually make more money. And this is the whole stupidity about the entire thing, is that reducing taxes will increase jobs, which will increase revenues. And just our president can't seem to get it through his head. And if his ideals continue, well, we have a perfect city that lived under the Democratic rule since the 50s, and we can show where this country will be in 20 years if we keep going down this road. And as a matter of fact, this city just filed for bankruptcy. Is going to court for the first time on trying to declare bankruptcy. And that's Detroit. And you look at what used to be one of the most affluent cities and highest per capita incomes in the country go from top down to the very bottom. And this alone shows what excess taxation does. But the left keeps on going. It's all the greedy Republicans' fault. And until we can get it through their heads that taxes is not the way out, it's not the way to play, it's through downsizing the federal government, which decreases overhead. It's called removing many of the corporate taxes, which increases growth, and reducing regulations. And these are all the things how the economy works. And then what happens is as companies are building out and hiring more and more employees, eventually the labor pool drops down. And as the labor pool drops down, minimum wage has to go up. Through a simple economic rule, you learn in Econ 101, and it's called supply and demand. And if you want to increase minimum wage, decrease taxes on the corporations, give it a few years, next thing you know, you can get to your $15 an hour desire. But do it through the right way, through supply and demand, not forcing corporations who will only, what happens when a corporation is forced to pay a higher rate, they cannot afford it. So what they do is they look for alternative means of reducing their overhead. Burger King is doing it, which is orchestrated by Warren Buffett, by moving to Canada. And Canada, for when I was younger, always had higher taxes than us. And now it's the opposite. And we're going to lose our jobs to our next-door neighbor. Not that I dislike Canada, but, I want our jobs in our country. This is why we need an alternative. And a flat tax or a fair tax, whatever way we decide to go, is fine with me, but we're going to end up with a lot of resistance from IRS attorneys, and you're going to also get a lot of resistance from people who are tax lawyers and tax, like H&R Block and companies like that. They're all going to be fighting a tooth and nail. And I would love to see it, but be prepared for a fight. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, Scott.
Well, exactly, Dan. And you stated it as well as anybody could state it. And it's really just basic economics. It amazes me how we have economics textbooks that are accurate in our high schools. One of the things that are accurate. And one of the first things you learn is the law of supply and demand. You learn what a profit and loss means, and you learn some of these basic things. And it all comes down to Americans are smarter at using their money than the federal government. And Dan, you and I have talked about this a zillion times. It costs the IRS 30 cents on every dollar to collect that dollar. Now, America, that should tell you right now we've got a huge, huge problem. That means almost one-third of all the tax money spent is spent just collecting it. So by the time it gets to Washington, D.C., and it's sitting in the great big pot, already one-third is gone. A third, folks. Obamacare is not even a third. Military spending isn't even a third. That's a huge chunk of money. And then what happens? And let's follow the trail. Let's make this really, really simple. Then what happens? Our senators up there write pork projects, and then that money gets sent back to the state. And when it's being sent back to the state, it takes more money for it to get there. And then when it gets to the state, it just kind of trickles down. Give your friend $10 and tell him to pass that around a little bit and see how much money is wasted. It doesn't take a lot of brain science. It doesn't take a rocket scientist like Herman Cain was to figure it out. And then you take and add on to that all of the waste, fraud, and abuse in our system. Then you really start losing money. And really, by the time our tax dollars are actually spent next to what we've given, there's not a whole lot left, really, folks. You know, they're studying, of course, they've got this project studying the sex habits of the ant and the sex habits of the frog. And then you got this pet project, you got that pet project, and I don't understand why the liberals aren't right on with us on this, because they really want to take that money and they want to really help poor people. And I believe most Democrats really firmly believe that they really want to help people that are in need. Now, we might disagree on the concept of hurdles and how much helping can really actually hurt somebody, but they really, really want to help people. I would imagine that the left would be all over this. Let's save the money so we've got more money to redistribute. Because where all that redistribution money they're talking about, it all gets gone before you ever have any money to actually spend. If you really want to redistribute some money, let's save all the money. And you know, it goes down that way. Especially, Dan, and I'm glad that you brought up a really important concept, and that's the law of supply and demand. That's what makes our economy work. And this is where the left really doesn't get it, because the more demand you've got, the more supply is required, and the more jobs, and the more people have got money, and the poor people then can go to work. And that really basically runs our system. Canada and this Burger King thing, the reason why Burger King went to Canada is because there's a lower corporate tax rate. Ours is the highest in the world. I've always said it was 35%. I saw somewhere this week it was 39%. Highest in the world. There is not an economist on the left or on the right that disagrees on this. You lower that tax rate, you make us a magnet for jobs. You make a magnet for people. And Canada's found this out. When they lowered their corporate tax rate 10 years ago up in Canada, the earnings, the money going into the coffers, the tax money that was brought in was actually raised. It didn't lower. And now they've got Burger King. Burger King was smart. They went. They left. Now, here's what the left does. The left put a bill in. 2 years in a row now they've done this, put a bill in so that they could say the Republicans were voting against it. And what it did was it, instead of lowering the corporate tax rate and making an incentive for people to bring their businesses back in, they made a tax bill that penalized businesses for going out. Well, that's not how you run an economy, folks, and that's not how you run a country. And, of course, then they blame the Republicans. There's all kinds of memes going around that the Republicans voted against this that was going to bring jobs back in. Well, number one, they don't work. They've proven that kind of tactic doesn't work. Number two, it's a liberal tactic to penalize instead of give an incentive. And number three, the opposite of that bill, which would be to incentivize, to give a tax cut in our corporate tax rate, would bring businesses back in. And you can look at any country in the world that's got a lower corporate tax rate. That's where the businesses are all running to. And you can look at the countries that have a high-tech corporate tax rate. That's where the companies are leaving from. And it is just a very, very simple concept. You know, it's not one of those little tiny dials on the board I was talking about. it's a great big one, and all you got to do is turn it down, and businesses start flocking. And you know, Dan, when we get into the conversation about the tax code and our taxes, it's been proven over and over and over again. Ronald Reagan lowered the tax rates. Boy, it was one of his big things because he remembers when he was paying 90 cents on a dollar in taxes. And Ronald Reagan lowered, and he doubled the money going into the United States coffers. He doubled the income of the United States. Now, a liberal will tell you, yeah, but look, he put us into debt. Look how much money he put us into debt. Well, and there's a couple of issues on that. Number one, Congress, 7 out of 8 years, spent 7 to 8% above Ronald Reagan's budget. And had Congress, remember, who writes the checks with all their pork barrel, had they not spent any more than Ronald Reagan's budget, there would not have been that deficit to start off with. And number two, there's a very simple explanation to debt that you have to put it in. You have to put it in kind of in context with the income. And, you know, Jennifer, we're going to pretend for right now you make $100,000 a year, and every year you spend about $10,000 in credit cards, and you've got that kind of a debt. Well, next year you make $200,000, and you go into debt $20,000 in the credit cards. Well, if nobody knows about your income, nobody understands your income, they're going to say, look at that, you doubled your debt, but you doubled your income as well. You didn't really, your percentage of your debt to your income didn't change. You just got more money. You've got the ability to handle a little bit more debt. So you did that. And that's what happened with Ronald Reagan in those years when he lowered the taxes. Yeah, we acquired some debt, and not all of it was his fault by a long shot. The people who write the checks, it was their fault. But at the same time, our country could take on a certain amount of debt above what we had before because we had doubled the income to the national treasuries over a period of 10 years. And then went on to have not only those 8 years of Ronald Reagan, but about the next 8 years after that as well of peacetime prosperity that this nation has not seen anything like it. Now compare that to what we're doing now, folks. We have been in a depression, in a recession, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to define it. It's been a bad situation. Our job numbers are atrocious, especially if you look at the real job numbers instead of the kind of manipulated ones that the administration puts out. We're still a strong nation, folks. All you got to do is walk over to a Walmart at any time and see how many people are spending money. A depression to us in this great country. We're so spoiled rotten. We're still living good. Our poor people are living good. If you don't believe that, you just go down and count how many Xboxes they have in their house, the poorest of the poor. In fact, statistically, the poorest people in this country are in the top 10% of wealth when you look at the entire world. But we still, we could be thriving right now. We could be absolutely thriving right now. And really, it all comes down to penetrating our tax code and dealing with the IRS and some of these situations. We've had Rich Lowry on the show. Rich is right. You want to really, really start affecting things. You got to affect our monetary policy. And you affect the monetary policy, and you can change all kinds of things. And we always enjoy having him on there as well. Go to putgrowthfirst.com and go check out what Rich has to say. Some great things for all you Ron Paul people out there. He has some great things to say about the Federal Reserve. You'll like that. But let me tell you, folks, it's really, really simple. And we've got a thriving nation. One of the few things I've agreed with John McCain on was when he said we've got a strong foundational base of economy. And we do. We still have a strong foundational base. We still lead the world in accomplishing so much. And we are still spoiled rotten. We still got two cars in the parking lot, in the driveway, sometimes three and sometimes four. We might have a couple of microwaves, 5 or 6 TVs, a handful of computers. We live in a great standard of living in this country, even when we're in a mess. I just don't want to see it get any further. I don't want us to see us turn into a third world country. And we know that's where Barack Obama would really like to go. He'd like to redistribute all the wonderful stuff we've got around the rest of the world, and there's that's another subject for another day. That doesn't work. So I rambled on enough. Jennifer Montrose, I'm going to pass it to you for some comments. Let you pass it to Dan, unless our guest, he should be coming here any minute now. Jennifer, I'll let you know if he comes in, and I'll let you introduce him. So it's at the half an hour. So Jennifer Montrose.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Yeah, Chuck was supposed to be on a conference call with another elected official tonight, and, you know, always trying to do their part to try to help to see that we can get this bill passed, you know, to stop the IRS. So he said he should be done around 9:30, and he would be calling in. But, you know, this is a – the time that we have here in America is – people need to get their head out of the sand. It's, you know, it's really sad. The things that we see that are going on right now, we've got other countries, other organizations that are trying to bully us, you know, and they're saying that if you won't stop messing with us, then we will keep, you know, slaughtering your journalist. And it's really, really sad that we have, you know, we can't even get our current administration to shut the borders, you know, and there's just so much happening right now, and it just seems like that we have a nation here that's of American citizens that are fighting for our sovereignty, for our constitutional rights to be able to keep our Second Amendment rights, you know, and we have an administration that is all about big government, you know, and I was talking to someone earlier today about you know, about our current situation here, and I understand that we have Chuck Bailey on the line. I would like to say that, you know, the time that I have gotten to know Chuck and his wife, it's been a really enlightening time, because he, you know, I had a candidate that I was supporting for Congress in Congressional District 6 of Alabama, Tom Bignell. You know, and Tom liked the fair tax, but he wasn't as extremely, you know, up on all the subject matter. And Chuck and his wife had the, you know, they came all the way from Huntsville, which is they came in 2.5 hours into Birmingham to meet with this guy, and they talked for 4 hours on the subject. And I'm telling you, by the time he was done, you know, he said, "This is so simple." He said, "I'm a businessman, and I get it." He said, "I just wish we had other people that got it as well as I do. If we had more elected officials that would do that." But I know Chuck's got a movie that he's been promoting, and I want to bring him on and to let him share the current details of what's going on with that around the nation, because I know he's been very, very active in trying to help do his part to get this bill passed. Because we need to throw out the current tax code. It's time. Chuck Bailey?
Hello. How's everything going on this radio station?
It is going great, Chuck. It is good to have you. This is Scott Osborne. It's great to have you. We want to remind everybody that they can go to unfairmovie.com while we're talking to Chuck, and we'll be able to see a little bit better what he's doing. Chuck, it's good to have you. I took a gander at the website today. There are some great things going on in this country when it concerns the IRS and the tax code and different things that are surrounding that issue, including the fair tax. And this movie is one of the most exciting things I've seen in a long time. So I would love you to just kind of give us a background of how it got started and where it's going and how people can see it and so on and so forth.
Okay, great. This movie got started as a result of the fair tax activity that's been going across the U.S. The writer producer of the movie is from Iowa, and he leads the fair tax the state fair tax in Iowa, and he's been into a lot of things. He's been in state campaigns for two or three different presidents, and he's got a syndicated talk radio station across the U.S. His name is Craig Bergman, and this idea boiled down from seeing the fact that it was hard to get the fair tax word out using a volunteer organization, and so he had to figure out a way to really get the word out that the IRS is abusive and something needs to be done, like close the place down. And so what he did is he went out and he found 40 different stories out there of how the IRS had abused people, and we're talking about some pretty awful stuff. And after he finished, and a lot of things are on the cutting room floor, but they're in a book that's going to come out later on that is of the same name, Unfair Exposing the IRS. And we're down to about maybe four or five, I can't remember exactly, different groups or people that have been affected by this abusive IRS, and they're in the movie. And you'll want to do something about the IRS once you get to the end of the movie. And as a matter of fact, this is not just a documentary where people come and watch it and go out of the theater just, you know, kicking the dirt and all that and being angry. They'll have a chance to do something about it, and that'll be support the fair tax.
Well, and you know, I like the fair tax for a lot of reasons. I've been a fair tax person for quite a while now. One of the big reasons is that it does start with abolishing the IRS, abolishing the tax code, and
right,
wiping out what's currently there. You know, we support I've got a friend here in Texas, Vern Winchy, that ran for president, actually. He almost made it in Iowa. He was just right below the list of winners. But he always talks about taking an axe and chopping things down as opposed to trying to prune around the edges. And what we've done over the years is we've tried to prune and cut and trade and do all kinds of things, graft, and we really need to just chop the whole system at the bottom, and we need to start all over again. It eliminates,
right,
we got to eliminate the IRS, because the IRS obviously is a tool, it's a weapon being used by the left right now, and I don't want in the future when the Republicans are control for them to be using it as opposition to the right. I'm fair that way. But it starts, it abolishes that tax code, takes that 80,000 pages worth of legalistic mumbo-jumbo that most people can't understand, and it reduces it to something very simple. And if you would, for our listeners, Chuck, kind of give them a quick rundown of exactly what the fair tax is and how it's labeled out. You can go to different places on the Internet and find the wording of the fair tax, of the actual legislation. It's pretty simple to understand. But if you could just kind of give them a quick rundown of that.
Okay. In a nutshell, the fair tax is a total replacement of the income tax with a single rate sales tax collected only at the point of resale on new goods or services. So you get rid of all the forms, you get rid of all the April 15 headaches, and the retailer will collect those taxes for the U.S. government, and they will get paid to do it as opposed to them having to pay to fill out forms. And the states will be the tax agents for the Treasury, and the IRS goes away, so you'll need somebody to actually take the money from the retailers. And there are 45 states that collect sales tax already, and all they got to do is add another line to their to the receipts, and they've got the mechanism in place. And the states are going to get paid to collect the tax. So there's enough money in the tax collection system under the fair tax to pay for the retailers to collect it, and to pay for the states to collect it, that it's going to be still revenue neutral when you get to the Treasury. In other words, whatever's collected now in the income tax, you get rid of all the paperwork, all the corporate taxes, all the income taxes for persons, all the payroll taxes, all that garbage goes away, and you still have the same amount of money coming in as the first year of the income tax after you go away from the income tax. The second
part, and you know,
is,
Chuck,
I would
think that you could sell this thing solely on people not having to worry about April 15th. You would think, I hate April 15th.
Yeah.
You would think that alone would take it off. But, you know, we know, Chuck, that it takes 30 cents on the dollar for the IRS to collect every dollar they collect.
Right.
There's a lot of money in that little bit of change right there that doesn't ever accomplish anything in the United States. And I would imagine there could be a whole lot of better done when that money is being paid to businesses to help keep track of this, flowing it back into the economy instead of just going into this great big bureaucratic organization. Which is, I think, is insane. Well, I'm going to pass it around. We kind of, my concept, Chuck, of Blog Talk Radio is we're all sitting on our couches having a discussion. We're all just sitting on separate couches. So we're going to do a little bit of round table, pass it down to Jennifer Montrose for some dialogue with you, and then we got Dan Wilson down in Florida. We'll have some dialogue, and we'll just keep until we get all our questions answered and talk about this. Jennifer Montrose.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. What, Chuck, what have been some of the most interesting questions you've had? I know you've talked to numerous of candidates, you know, and it seems some get it and some don't. You know, I know Tom Mignell got it right away. You know, he's a businessman, owns his own mattress factory. You know, one of the only ones left, hardly, in the southeastern part of the state. You know, but what are some of the questions that you get that typically, you know, that once they hear the answers, it clicks. Because I know there's a lot of people that still don't know.
Well, I guess the highest percentage response we get is this sounds real good, but it'll never happen. You know, it's because people have been so beat down by the income tax system that they just can't in their minds visualize not having an IRS coming after them to collect income taxes. And the second one is, it's too regressive. A sales tax is regressive, but it's because they haven't been taught that this particular collection system has the prebate in there to make sure that no one, rich, poor, or whatever, is taxed for their necessities of life. Everyone gets rebated the amount of money they would spend each month for the sales tax up to the poverty level per person in your household, and you have to have a valid Social Security number. You know, you can check Social Security numbers and figure out how many people are using them. You know, and the second thing is you have to be a legal resident of the United States to be able to collect this prebate. So everybody gets to pay it, and so when people talk about the tax being too regressive, we come back with, well, no, sorry, but we've taken care of that. Nobody, there are absolutely no exemptions in this whole system, so that you can't play the system like they do with the income tax. The income tax right now, with all those loopholes and everything you're talking about, it's a money laundering system to keep incumbents in office by using the tax code, controlling the behavior of taxpayers in the United States. And the third thing is, most of the time when somebody is new to the fair tax and they start running on it, the opposition typically has this thing: well, do you want to vote for Joe Blow over there? He's going to add 23 cents tax to what you're paying now. Which is not true. If you get rid of the income tax, you're only paying the sales tax when you buy new goods and services. No income tax at all, no business to business taxes, all that stuff goes away. And you have the tax being collected at the retail sales, the state picking it up from there, and then April 15th is another spring, happy spring day, and life is beautiful. You get your freedom back. The biggest thing with the fair tax is you get your freedom back, and that's the hardest thing to get people to understand is think about not having to fill out all those forms and everything and how much more free you will be with what you, how you spend your money, and you have to worry about the government breathing down your back and collecting all that data on you that they're able to collect it on you now through the income tax system.
Would this affect C4 and C3?
You won't have a need for a C4 and C3 because there'll be no income tax.
And I'm sure that this probably ticks off the illegals coming in, because then they won't be able to benefit and profit.
That's right, because like I said, to collect the prebate, first of all, they will pay the tax, because everything they buy new or every service they get, they're going to be paying the tax, and they will not be able to get the prebate because they are not, they won't have a legal Social Security card, and they're not legal residents of the United States. Now, the magic of this thing is right now you got about 150 million tax filers, and so you get, when you get rid of the IRS, all the forms and everything, you get rid of about upwards to $1 trillion of wasted money that revolves around the income tax system, because Arthur Laffer and his organization did a study in 2012, and they figured that based on the tax advocates' report for that year, there was something like 6.97 billion hours spent on people filling out their tax forms, individuals up through corporations. And he worked it out that that's there was something like 3 million man hours, which works out at an average rate of pay. That works out to about $431 billion just to fill out forms. And then there's the loopholes and everything, and then the uncollected taxes by people who have avoided taxes, who have evaded taxes. That is, and all that rolls up to about $1 trillion in today's dollars. So all that goes away, and you replace it with a prebate that the first year is going to be about $300 or $400 billion. But that's money going into your pocket to cover your necessities of life, and then anything above that, you're a taxpayer, and nobody has any exemptions. They got to pay the tax above that prebate poverty level.
Okay. I have a couple questions, and it's based on the corporate end. Now, if we have a flat tax or fair tax, you're taking away the depreciation schedules on equipment from the corporation. And let's take a company that is manufacturing computers. And the CNC machines that they use to cut out the boards and the programming and things like that, these machines run into the tens of millions of dollars. And they are written up in a depreciation schedule of, on average, 5 years. And let's say they have 100 of these machines doing creating these boards, and then you got the other machines that are doing the making the outside of the computer, and you know, another one to do the keyboards and stuff. You're running into hundreds of millions of dollars. And by removing the tax, by removing the ability to write depreciation tables, you're going to increase your cost of goods sold. Is it right?
Well, you have to look at it from this point of view. There are no business-to-business taxes that they have to worry about. So they will be able to take care of all of that in their normal cost of doing business without interference from the government. The only thing those businesses have to account for is to make sure that whatever inventory, whatever of the product that they're producing and passing through there has to be accounted for, so that they know that they're not doing backdoor sales and not collecting the fair tax on it. So materials in, product out, that has to be accountable as far as the value of it. And then, you know, the piece parts go together to make a product. There's no business taxes in between there. So all that stuff's cost of doing business. They don't have to worry about paying any taxes on what they're doing, so they're going to be able to take care of all that depreciation and everything on their own. And if they want to depreciate it over 1 year, they can do it. Or if they want to take 10 years, they can do it. That's up to them. The government will be out of it then. And again, remember I said the system is revenue neutral, so you're still collecting the same amount of tax at the retail sales that you collected after all this, all these forms and all the paperwork, all the wasted. All of that $1 trillion is just no value-added money spent to have somebody doing a paper-pushing job. All of those people
right.
will be able to go out and find skilled jobs, because what's going to be the first thing that happens when there's no corporate taxes, no business-to-business tax, all that stuff goes away. The United States is going to be the tax haven of the world, and the guy will be have to be worrying about how many factories he's going to build. He's not going to be worried about how many machines he's got to maintain or anything or depreciate, because industry is going to be moving back into the U.S. like you've never seen before. And that's,
well,
that's I have a precedent for that, if you want to talk about that.
Oh, well, I was an econ major, and I'm a big fan of Milton Friedman, and I also loved Art Laffer. I thought
yeah.
he did a great job under the Reagan administration. So, I mean, the other two, those are my two favorite people
yeah.
When it comes to economics. I was just wondering, because I know today your depreciation can be depreciated over a five-year period. And so you're talking, you know, 22.5% of what that they don't, of the cost of that machine. And
yeah, well,
over
see, what you're talking about there, though, is you're talking about pass-through taxes to cover that. Whereas if they don't have to worry about the taxes, that 22% is just part of the cost of doing business, and it's going to be, they'll be able to possibly be less, since they're not having to keep all these forms and everything to prove to the government that that's actually depreciation on their hardware. And so it's just going to be better all around for them as far as their accounting is concerned, as well as the price of the product won't have to have all that in it. And the where that helps out greatly is that right now, there is no mechanism in the income tax system to remove those embedded taxes in the price of products that we send overseas, and so we're at a competitive loss when we ship something out of the country, because the cost of all that stuff you're talking about, having to do with the excess of keeping paperwork to get that depreciation accounted for and all that, and the payroll taxes that they pay the labor and the Social Security, the Medicare, the anything that has to do with the business taxes, you know, all that goes into the price of the product, and it's unequal across the border when we ship it across the ocean somewhere. And so, but when they send their stuff to us, they typically have VATs or something like that, and they have mechanism, they remove the VAT off so that the price of their products is lower at the when it hits customs, so that it's an uneven playing field between us and our foreign competitors. This gets rid of that.
Well, also,
you know, go ahead.
You do
Dan.
Have also trade agreements between the between countries. For instance, when we're dealing with Japan, to keep the playing field so even, quote unquote,
yeah.
they have import fees, export fees, and how are we going to deal with it on an international basis?
Well, this is from what I've read from the guys who've done the research and everything. This is WHO-proof. They won't be able to. There's nothing in there that you know causes those problems. They'll just have to buck up. What'll happen? What you'll see is when the United States goes to a fair tax system, guess what they're going to do? They're going to compete, and they're going to go to a fair tax system, because it's much better for your manufacturing and your industries and everything. It's much better for that to be that way, because, like I said, if you got no corporate taxes being collected at every spot that some material's been touched, or products come together, or you know, you've gone through distribution and you get to the, you finally get to retail, you got 22, anywhere from 12 to 23 or 4, well, I take it back, anywhere from 16 to 28% of this embedded taxes in there, depending on the product. Leather is about 16%, and houses and cars are 28%, just to do the labor stuff,
okay.
You know, the right. Health care and everything that they get that goes in the price of the car.
I don't disagree that eventually other companies are going to be going. I mean, other countries would go along with this, but they aren't going to drop it overnight.
No,
and
but I'll tell you what.
Especially communist bloc countries, i.e. China, Soviet Union, countries like that, who are not going to be willing to go to that type of economy.
Well, they'll be forced to in the long term, though, because just like if you look, the Soviet Union fell and they went to a flat tax, and all of a sudden all these other countries around there went to a flat tax. So it's just a matter of forcing this thing to happen, and it'll be better for everybody overall, because you don't want to ever tax a person's production. That's the same thing as saying the government owns you and your property until you pay that tax. And just don't pay your taxes if you don't believe that.
Well,
exactly.
I understand the argument. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm being a realist. And, you know, the idea is great. And domestically, it'll work out, especially on behalf of the employee.
Right.
It's where the corporation, especially in a global economy, it's going to take some time, and somebody's going to have to incur the loss.
Right. Well, we're hoping it's other countries, because it's time for us to straighten our system out, because if we don't, we might as well just become one of those other countries. We're headed that way already.
Oh, I'm
so very. I'm glad you brought up the concept of embedded taxes, because that's one of the big things that average America doesn't understand. They don't understand when they go into a store and they buy a good that costs a dollar. They see the 7.5 cents, maybe 8.5 cents that they pay on that, and they think that's what they're paying in taxes. And they're not. Within that dollar that they pay in the first place, there's 18 to 35% of that is embedded taxes.
Right.
I always like the way Herman Cain said it. You know, you start with a loaf of bread. How do you get to a loaf of bread? Well, you got to have the farmer. He's got to plant the seed. He's got to buy the equipment. There's taxes all the way through until you get that loaf of bread onto the store, and those are embedded taxes.
Right.
You know,
have you ever seen his slaying the tax monster? Person.
Yes, definitely. I'm friends with the producer of that video, and that was around in the Cain campaign like crazy.
Yeah, we're going to plagiarize that thing and get it out there with the fair tax message. We've got people working on videos doing that kind of stuff now.
Excellent, because that's the best. That's one of the big things we've got to get across the American people. Jennifer and Dan and I were all three heavily involved in the Cain train. I was the California state leader for Herman Cain, and we passed around a lot when we talked about the 999 program. And the one big hurdle that we always hit was people not understanding the basic foundational principles of economics, and mainly those embedded taxes. They did not know that. When you told them that, it made sense to them. I explained 999 to my sister in about a minute and a half, and she goes, well, that makes sense, because she's got an understanding of economics. But a lot of people don't have that. So I will be excited, and we'll be spreading those videos around. You get those out, we will be getting them. You know, Chuck, Jennifer and I are great big fans of Schoolhouse Rock. And we remember one of the Schoolhouse Rocks was the little guy, I'm just a bill. So we've got a question here. Where does H.R. 25, where is it sitting right now? We know how a bill is written and passed through Congress and gets to the president's desk. Where is H.R. 25 sitting right now? What is the next step that has to be taken with it?
Well, the next step is right now the H.R. 25 is sitting in the House Ways and Means Committee, where they love to hold on to things, and it's also in the Senate Finance Committee. And what needs to happen is enough fire needs to be built under 218-plus House members to demand that that thing come to a vote in the Ways and Means Committee to bring it out to the floor for an up or down vote. We're hoping for an up vote when it hits the floor, but if it's a down vote, that's still better than what we've got now, the thing just languishing in the Ways and Means Committee. And the reason that is when it comes up for a vote, it's got to be debated, and a lot more people are going to learn about the fair tax once it's in debate. But
correct.
We have the movie here that's going to, I believe, force some action on that. Plus, the Americans for Fair Taxation, the grassroots just took over operation of the fair tax from the original fair tax side of the picture, and we're in the process of forming up videos, and we've got committees working, fundraising, and those kinds of things to build an organization strong enough to start getting the word out a lot more than it's been getting out prior to now. We've been hindered. It's kind of interesting. The IRS scandal came along, and it kind of hindered us to a degree because, David Camp, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, had promised the sponsor of the bill, Bob Woodall, that he was going to bring that bill, H.R. 25, up for a vote in, I think it was June or July, and then all the breaking news about the IRS scandal took all the heat away and put it over on the Representative Issa's committee, and now each day something new comes out about how really corrupt that whole system is. And it's going to help us with the movie, and that information, it's going to help us do a lot better with the fair tax in the near future.
Well, and we're excited about that, and it's something we just got to push. And I want to encourage everybody to go online, and I'm going to just give you just one website. Look up fair tax, look up H.R. 25. There are a handful, actually, of websites that describe it. There's a lot of places where you can actually read the bill, which is one of the big things I like about it. One of our biggest problems right now is our 2,000, 3,000 pages of legislation, let alone our 80,000-page tax code. And the average American can sit down and read H.R. 25 and understand it. I've done that. And when it comes to reading comprehension, sometimes I'm a little slow. So you can understand. So I'd encourage everybody to do that. I want to encourage everybody again to go to unfairmovie.com. You can watch a short clip there at the beginning and search through the website and see a little bit about what he is talking about. Let me tell you, it's important. Herman Cain used to say this, and I'm a firm believer. He said if we could change that tax code, it would be the greatest transfer of power from the federal government back to the people in the history of our country. And so it's a very important thing that we get a hold of that tax code on both sides. Before you got here, Chuck, I gave my bonfire rant. I've always said this. Fair tax, flat tax, 999, I don't care what tax it is, as long as it starts out with a great big bonfire of that 80,000-page tax code. Yeah. And let's do some redistribution for the left. We'll have a great big marshmallow eating contest and let the federal government pay for it. But all kidding aside, I'm a firm believer that the fair tax is the only way to go. One reason being is it's already sitting there on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of other ideas out there that look really, really good, but they're not sitting on Capitol Hill right now.
The problem with those is they don't have 75 co-sponsors, and the problem with that is we don't have 218 co-sponsors.
Exactly,
but,
exactly. And we've
got
to get them.
Yeah, we've got nine in the Senate, and But you got to, you know, we got to work on the House. The House does the, they do the appropriations and everything, and they do the tax bill. So we got to get it through there. And so once we get, reach that hurdle, well, then it'll be a little bit easier to push it further. And I got, there's one other thing that's absolutely essential for everybody to know. This bill requires that the IRS be closed down and defunded after 2 years and 9 months. And the reason it's 2 years and 9 months is because the government operates on fiscal years, which starts in October through September the 30th. So they have 2 years and 9 months to reconcile the last year's collection of income tax, and then they've got to have all that done and all of the income tax records that they've ever collected destroyed, and then they're closed down. The only thing they don't destroy are the Social Security and the Medicare records, because people have paid into that, and they you got to account for people that are, you got to grandfather people that are eligible for Social Security and Medicare to take care of it. So how does that sound to you? Close them down and burn the books.
I do, Ryan.
Go ahead, Dan.
I don't mean to be devil's advocate here, but
we love devil's advocate.
I would love to see a fair tax, but I'm also a realist. You're talking about also shutting down two major industries. You're talking about accounting firms, and you're talking about corporate tax attorneys that are probably are in the hundreds of billions of dollars, who have a lot of power in Washington to stop this. Now, how do you plan to address a group that has so much economic power and so much control over our federal government?
Well, they, first of all, they're a hell of a lot, they're a heck of a lot more of us than are of them, number one, and it's our job to, through this movie and through the AFFT, to get a lot more people on board to start demanding that their representatives co-sponsor this bill and get it passed out of the Ways and Means Committee. And the, I alluded to the answer earlier. If GM moves all of its operations back from overseas into the United States, and if Ford moves all of their operations from out of the country back in the United States, if Pfizer brings all of its medical, you can see where I'm going, we're going to be awash with jobs, and those people are going to be getting better jobs than they got now. They won't have to be doing income tax, and they'll be a lot better off. And we've got CPAs that are in our organization that just can't wait for this to be over, because they are tired of going back and checking the story to turn in for income tax. Then they want to go back to helping a businessman promote his, you know, do what it takes on the business level to, you know, make good business decisions to get a better product out there and make more product and everything and make more money, because making more money is the whole idea to keep your shareholders, you know, got to make profit to keep your shareholders happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was just wondering how you're going to defeat that industry. That's, you know, just for like tort reform, we have not been able to move that at all, because 80% of Congress and Senate are attorneys.
Well, the only way it can happen is for us to be successful and force those people to do something about this tax system, and it takes away a lot of the power all those guys have that you're talking about to bring down the whatever misery and everything those guys bring on us now based on the income tax system.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get rid of that misery index that Carter started back in 76.
There's a couple of positive things here. I love the fact, you know, that it will definitely trim the budget. It'll cut the cost of the things that we as American citizens have to constantly pay into just to get, you know, April 15th out of the way.
Right.
I mean, you know, and people are struggling. And also, I think that this would probably be a big helpful thing in deterring, maybe it would help deterring from illegals to come in here and try to get one up over on us, you know, because then they can't, you know, they can't, unless they go through the black market and get illegal Social Security numbers and illegal IDs like they, you know, and I think we have
people in our current administration.
If you have a
system where the government has to check your Social Security number to approve you for the prebate, well, if two people are using that same Social Security number, the government's going to have to go find out which one's the correct one, which means the illegal guy is going to be out of luck.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I know that they tried to resurrect the dead with Social Security numbers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we have people probably, you know, I'll say it because I believe it. I think there's people in our current administration that are probably, you know, being very involved in the black market to get these illegal IDs. But then some of them are just, you know, they're being told, oh, just come on over because we love you. We want to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and in the meantime, those people that have, like you and me, you know, that have the right to be here, and the ones that have waited in line, that did the right way, become, you know, naturalized citizens. You know, I've talked to numerous of people that say, you know, I'm a naturalized citizen. I hate what this illegal immigration problem is doing to us and our jobs, you know. And I remember when Tom Bunnell finally, I talked to him on the phone. He said, I just spent 4 hours with Chuck Bailey, and, man, you know, I really believe in this fair tax now, you know. And I'm sure that you get that response from a lot of people when you get an opportunity to get with people that really get it. But, I know it's got to be hard for some people to fathom this because they're so used to seeing the dream of America being squashed. You know, because, you know, we have a lot of promises that are broken. And, you know, but the things that happened to Wetumpka Tea Party would not be able to take place under this new bill.
That's right.
For those who may not remember, when the IRS was targeting Tea Parties, and I understand recently there was an article that came out where they granted exemptions to Muslims and mosques and their organizations, but it took forever for them to grant any kind of, you know, thing to the conservative groups and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Well, that's the main reason why this movie got kicked off.
Yeah, you know,
it's,
so. I'm really excited. I'm just really excited to see this happening. I know when I shared this movie with our president for our local Republican Women's, you know, Federated, and she's like, oh, we got to get this printed out. We got to announce this to our group, you know, and I'm sure. Now, you were telling me that there's various ways that you can get involved around the nation to support this movie being shown. If you don't have the movie in your town near you, there are things that you can do. Could you expand on that a little bit for us?
Well, what you can do is if you've got what I'd like to see a lot of is areas like Florence. We're trying to see, there's a big Carmike movie theater over there that might be satellite capable for this simulcast, and one of our Tea Party buddies over there is checking in on that tomorrow. But the point is, if they don't have the movie over there, what I'd like to see is him to get busloads of folks to come into Huntsville where it is going to show, or Scottsboro to fill up buses, or you know that's not a bad drive from there. People can, you know, do a convoy from there and come over. Those are the kind of things that that people can do, and they can also go on there and they could go on the site and you purchase the tickets through the site, and they're all pre-purchased before October the 14th, and they could buy friends tickets that live in a town where the movie showing. What we need are bodies and chairs whenever this thing shows up, so that movie company says, "Wow, we need to make reel to reel of this and get it out into the theaters for a week or two to make some more money off this thing," which would help us in the long run. So that all those kinds of things they can do. They can talk it up to all their friends and you know, spread the word into areas where the movie is going to be showing, and you can check where that's where the movies are showing at that unfairmovie.com. It'll tell you where the theaters are. You can just pick a town or something. You pick a state. Or in a town in that state, and you can see where the movie theaters are.
Well, that's great. yeah, I know that. Seems like, you know, right now, this with it being election season, people are trying to, you know, make their feel so they can get people to vote for them and stuff. And I know you said it seems like there's been a lot of candidates that have been hesitant to come out and say that they're 100% for the fair tax.
They're scared of being a demagogue, because with not enough people knowing about it, it's easy to demagogue somebody that runs on the fair tax. If he isn't a strong fair tax knowledgeable person like Tom was, you know, they'll get beat up in a race.
Yeah, it really helps to have somebody that's in business that gets
right.
it to get out there and talk about it, because they can say that, you know, I've been there, done that.
Right.
And Tom used to say that all the time. You know, that he's had to deal with all these things, all the nightmares.
Other things we were talking about was we're looking for it doesn't necessarily have to be in the theater space, but we're looking for people to actually sponsor a whole showing. I look at these theaters now, these cineplexes. They have it's a theater and it's got X number of screens in it. So what we need to do is sell out a screen. And a sponsor can buy a whole screening area, anywhere from 200 to 300 or so seats, and then that's his venue, the night of the movie. And if he's someone running for office, he could use that as a means to get 200 or 300 people into a seat. And he can, you know, can glad hand them when they come into the theater door. They have a half hour before the movie, and then the movie shows, and then he's got 10 minutes after the movie to where he can address the crowd however he wants to. He can relate his campaign to the movie, you know, to abolish the IRS, whatever he wants to do. But that's his the person that pays for that theater, that screen in the theater, that's his for the night. And if we sell out one. Well, then, and somebody, just one guy shows up for a ticket with a ticket in his hand that's been pre-bought, well, they have to open another theater. So, and if we sell out two, well, then the guy that shows up with a ticket in hand has to open a third theater. So the more theaters we sell out, the more coverage we're going to get around the nation in general, and that's what a sponsor can do. And they can use that theater that night for any purpose that's legal that they would like to do. For instance, we have a pregnancy crisis center here in town, and we're going to talk to him about maybe buying a theater, and then he could sell the tickets if he wants to for $5 more, because he can do that if he wants to, and use the use that as a fundraiser to collect the extra $5 per ticket for the pregnancy crisis center. Those kind of things we could do. And what we're trying to do across the whole U.S. of A in these 680-plus theaters to get this word out. And another way that you can help out is we'll have theater captains. There'll be a person there that, you know, make sure that that we follow the rules of the theater, and everything has to take place in the screening room. We can't be out in the halls of the theater hawking the fare tax or anything, but you know, we'll be walking back and forth through there with signs and that sort of thing, so that won't be a big problem. But theater captains are being recruited at this time, so there are several things that can be done to help this thing go, and that's what we're working on right now.
Well, this is great. You know, I just think that, you know, the problem that we see now is so many people don't want to, you know, they'd rather go out and look at a Star Wars movie. But, you know, I think that I would encourage, you know, people in your communities to go to the website, take a look at what's to offer here, you know, and see what you can do to get your group or your organization to get involved. And, you know, if there's not a movie showing if the documentary is not showing in your community, see what you can do to work on, you know, and getting it there. You know, I just think there is just so much going on in our nation right now that it's critical. This is a crucial time in America. Our sovereignty, our American sovereignty is being challenged. Our Second Amendment rights, you know, there's just so much that's happening right now. And, you know, if you look at the history of the IRS and where we're at today with it, you know, it's a no-brainer to me that we need to burn it up. It needs to go away.
There are. If you look at a lot of the problems we got across the U.S. of A, it drills back down to being brought about by the income tax system. You know, all the exemptions that are in there, all the loopholes, that pits group against group, families against families. It's all a insipid mess, and it needs to be taken out.
No, we
yeah,
definitely
I,
have.
I agree, Scott.
You guys, go ahead for a second.
All right.
Well, I have another question. So there's various other for those that some people say flat tax, fair tax. Explain the difference between the two, because I know that, you know, some people say that I'm for either or, and I know that there's a distinctive difference between fair tax and flat tax.
You're correct. What you have with the only viable flat tax bill that's out there is H.R. 1040. You know, that's a real nifty number for it. H.R. 1040. Get it? anyway, it's got 10 co-sponsors, and what it does is it sets up a dividing line. You can either stay on the income tax system as it is now, with its over 75,000 pages of code and regulations and court precedents, and you can add to that a flat tax, which will have a new set of books. And once you select the fair tax, the flat tax, you're in it forever. There's no going back to the income tax. So you opt into the flat tax, and then guess what? You're still in the income tax. And guess what? 1913, we had a so-called flat tax. There was a small amount for people making up to $5,000, $7,000, or something like that. And hardly anybody made that kind of money back then, so hardly anybody was paying taxes at the working level. But then it was set so that the next level took care of people making $500K and above, and there were a few exemptions, and it was one page and of forms and three pages of instructions. So it was about as simple and as flat as it could be. How long do you think a flat tax now would be before it's back up to 74,000 pages? Because there's still the mortgage deduction in there, and there's still charitable deductions. So now everybody's going to come along and want to get their little pick of deductions out of the flat tax. And so it'll be just as bad or worse as the income tax is now after a period of time. And it's still an income tax. You still have to have the 16th Amendment in place to collect that tax, and you still belong to the government until you pay that tax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I talked to several people that said that they just didn't quite get it, so I knew there was a difference. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I was dealing with a kid. Occasionally happens. You know, Craig, one of the things that I do is I'm helping raise my three nieces, and they're 12, 9, and 5 and a half. And the reason why I do everything I do, this radio show, our other radio shows, everything I do on Facebook, on Twitter, all of my political activism, is because I worry about the country that we're going to have someday. I worry about when they're in their 40s, what kind of country that they're going to have politically, just as far as our justice system, as far as our churches and our freedom of religion. And so this becomes very personal to me. I think it would be a wonderful life that they could have if they didn't have to worry about filling out a bunch of tax forms on April 15th. I think it would be a great thing, the boom in our economic growth that it would provide to not only provide a tax platform that encourages economic growth, but by removing the one that we have right now that discourages economic growth. You know, it's kind of like the pendulum concept. You know, you got it on one side, you let go, it swings way far to the other direction. And there's so many reasons why we can absolutely, if we'll just get out and do it. This is the part of the show where I talk about, I do my show from my garages, Chuck. And yeah. I used to look out in California and see a bunch of cows. But now I live in a neighborhood and I look at a bunch of houses behind me. And I know as I look in all those houses, if I were to walk into 100 of those houses and talk about the basic conservative principles that we have and talk about the basic reasons why I believe what I believe, I know the majority of those people would agree with me. But if yep. I walk through those same group of houses and ask them some things about current events, if I ask them what Benghazi was, they'd think it was an Italian dessert. If I ask them what the fair tax was, I know there's a good portion of them that would say, I've never, ever heard of that. And
well,
so
they'd say there ain't no fair tax.
Exactly. And that's why we do our shows, is because we want to encourage the listeners to get out. When you're standing in line at the grocery store, bring it up. Talk about it. Ask the person. That's a great lead-in question. Wouldn't you like to live in a world where you didn't have to fill out an IRS form every year? Wouldn't you
Absolutely.
Like it to live in a world where you didn't have to worry about making all those calculations? Wouldn't you like to live in a world where you didn't have to hire H&R Block just to find out how much money you have to pay somebody else? Talk to the guy that's cutting your hair. Kay Carl's always good with that, with Frederick Douglass Republicans.
Right.
Talking to the guy who's cutting your hair. Because you, Chuck and I and Jennifer and Dan, we're all very familiar with the fair tax and a lot of these political concepts. But we've got so many people in the country right now that come home from work, they're tired. You're not allowed to talk politics around the water cooler anymore. That's not politically correct. They come home and they're tired. They deal with the kids what they can. They watch a couple of sitcoms and they go to bed, and they really don't pay attention to where the country is at.
Right.
And these situations, we could talk about a zillion different issues, fair tax and our tax code being one of them. So it's our job to get out and let people know what's going on. Tell your friends. Don't be afraid to talk to your friends about politics. The left has been saying for years and decades, you don't talk about politics and religion. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. You talk about politics and religion because our country, our great country and its future relies on it. We can have, you know, we can have great things like a fair tax movie. We can have a great things such as a fair tax bill. We can have great things as a large organized group of people trying to get the word out. But if that word doesn't get out, and it has to be out on an individual basis, this is where the preacher comes in. Yeah. You know, when you go down into the book of Acts in the Bible, God set up and Christ set up the first multi-level marketing. Amway thinks that they invented that, but they didn't. Christ invented that. And they all gathered around there in Jerusalem on the day, at the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. And Peter preached. And then all those people that lived in all of the surrounding countries, they were all the way from Rome and Syria and Mesopotamia. They were all from all kinds of different places. They all went back, and they talked about what they learned. And the church spread by leaps and bounds in the first century because of that. It was multi-level marketing. It was just the same as Amway. You go out and you tell your friends, and you tell your friends to tell your friends. And so I want to put the call out to people. Get that website out there. Get it. We've got great ways of doing it today. We can do it through social media. We can do it verbally. But whatever you do, tell your friends. Go to the website. Go to this movie. Invite your friends. Pay for the ticket if you have to. The movie's going to be in such and such a place on October 14th. Come on, I want you to go with me. I want you to learn about this. I want you to understand what the IRS has been doing. I want you to understand what it would how it would change your life if we changed just the simple thing of changing our tax code in this great country. Get them social media, folks. Go to it's really, really simple. Just type in that Facebook box, Unfair. Probably the easiest tag I've done for a long time was tagging for this show.
Easy.
Just start typing, Unfair, and the Facebook page will come up for the movie. Get out there and pass that around. Pass around the website. Tweet it if you've got to. If you've got whatever you've got. I know we've all got fair tax friends. Help them, get them, encourage them to get the word out. Because that's how we win this battle. Jennifer
right.
and Dan and I and Chuck, we work really a lot of hours doing stuff like this, doing our political activism, but it does no good if we don't get the people that don't know. It's great that the people that do know, we're right now, actually, Chuck, we're preaching to the choir. Most of the people, most of our listeners, I believe, are pretty much behind the fair tax. Most of them understand the basic conservative fight that we're fighting against, and preaching to the choir is great, as long as the choir gets up and goes out and sings. You got to go out and sing. So I want to encourage everybody one more time. I want to give you the website. It's unfairmovie.com. Go to unfairmovie.com. Easiest way to find it is right there in Facebook. Just type in Unfair in that search box. It'll give you all the information. And we're going to be talking about this more and more as we go on because it's just important. It's one of the big things. I'll tell you, when we get a hold of the tax code and we get a hold of Common Core and we get a hold of some of these other issues we're fighting, every one of them requires people that don't know knowing. The left is doing it right and left. I'm telling you, folks, they're at every event in Texas. I know this for a fact. Registering voters and telling voters you've got to vote with us. We got to be doing the same thing. And this is a great place to start, an absolutely great place to start. This should be a bipartisan issue. It should not be very difficult to take somebody who knows nothing about politics and explain to them the benefits of not having to worry about April 15th because I know that's been a dreaded day in my life for I'm 45, so what, about 30 years. Almost 30 years now, it's been a dreaded day part of my life. So with that, I want to pass it back to you to give us a little bit more about the movie and a couple more things about how people can find it. Do we know how many movie theaters it's in already, and do we have any kind of projections on between now and October 15th? How many more? Is it in all 50 states, so on and so forth?
Yes, we... The movie itself right now is actually contracted for 681 theaters across the U.S. And to my knowledge, that's in every state. The The company that we're contracting through is Fathom Events, and that's where you'll end up when you click on Unfair Movie. You'll end up at Fathom Events, and then that'll take you over to Fandango to buy your ticket. But that's the way that whole system works. And these people at Fathom Events, they specialize in one night events like this is. As far as the movie's concerned, it's an hour and a half long, and it covers those different people that have been accosted by the IRS, plus some background on the income tax and IRS and how we got to where we are. And then at the end, there's going to be a panel that's emceed by Mike Huckabee, and in attendance on that panel is going to be Alan Keyes, Steve Moore, and several other people that are yet to be announced. So that's what we're looking forward to as far as movie night. So that makes the thing about 2 hours long. And again, the best way to find out about the movie is to, like you said, go unfairmovie.com or just type in unfair, and it typically pops right up.
Well, and I do want to state one more thing that I noticed on the website. This is produced by John Sullivan, and if you don't know who John Sullivan is, you actually do know who John Sullivan is, folks.
Yes, you do.
John Sullivan was the producer of 2016, Obama's America, by Dinesh. And so we know what kind of quality this is going to be. We already know his reputation. So it's up there. When I saw that this afternoon, I went, okay, this is going to be good. And
Let's add to that, Scott, he's also the producer of America for Dinesh. He was involved in both of those movies.
Great. And I'll tell you.
Did you see Ben Stein's movie about I can't remember the name of it now, doggone it. It was about the public school system. I can't remember. If my wife
I remember, but I don't remember what the name was.
The name of it was Expelled.
Right.
And it was about how lousy the public school system is. So he was involved in all three of those. So you know the quality that this movie is going to be just knowing that John Sullivan's involved with it.
Exactly. And we're sitting at about 22 minutes, so it's time for us to start doing our round table of our final comments. So I'll pass it to Jennifer to have a little bit more dialogue with you, Chuck, and then we'll pass it to Dan to do that, and then we'll leave it open to you for any final things that you've decided that you didn't get to say that you want to say. And so with that, I'll pass it to Jennifer.
I just want to say, you know, thank you, Chuck, because, I mean, I know that this has been at your heart, sort of what you've been doing this for. And, you know, I think we take for granted that we have a lot of activists on the front line that don't get a paycheck that are doing this stuff. You know, they're not making any money, and they're not profiting financially off of any of this. You know, and I really appreciate you, Chuck, you know, and your wife for all of your hard, you know, labor that you have put into helping to make this movement, this bill, you know, a success. And hopefully, you know, we will be able to sometime soon see it passed into law. If we can get our, you know, elected officials to man up,
right,
you know, and do what's right for the country. I think so far, you know, what I've seen is you have a lot of people that are brokering deals, what they can, you know, I'll vote for you on this or I'll stand for that if it gets me elected, and then they go about doing their own thing afterwards. And I know that you have talked with several elected officials, those that are running for office. Is there anybody that stands out in your mind right now that has been a really big supporter of what you're trying to do?
Well, we have our 5th District Alabama co-sponsor is Mo Brooks, and he is a proponent. He talks about it at town halls. He's an advocate for it, and he had better be because his wife is a CPA, and she is for it, so... that was a natural. Now the real disappointment for us was when we talked to Bradley Byrne and Dean Young in the first district when they were running last fall. We talked to both of those guys, gave them the exact same briefing, had same questions, kind of things with both of them. And when we were done, Dean Young was saying, "Well, why haven't we put this in place yet?" And when asked in the first debate after we explained it to him, on a Thursday we explained it to him, and on a Monday they had the debate. When the different candidates were asked, were they for the fair tax or not? Bradley Byrne says, "No, I can't be for the fair tax because it gives the federal government too much power." Fathom that for a while.
Wow.
So we've got a problem in that district. But now coming back to the sixth district, Representative Baucus retired at the end of this session, so you know we've just had a runoff, which Gary Palmer won, and Gary and Paul DeMarco were both pledge signers saying that if they won, they would support, advocate for, and co-sponsor the fair tax until they're voted out of office. So. We've got to work on Representative Adderholt, Representatives Adderholt, Roby, Bradley Byrne, and Terry Sewell. We have seven representatives in the state, five of which need some education.
Yeah, we've got to do our fair share, for sure, and educate those. The sad part is some people are afraid to join in and be that voice because they're afraid it's going to lose them votes. You know, and if they're really wanting to run for office to be, you know, a voice for the people, it shouldn't matter. But for some, it does. I've seen it, you know, when I have been right up front and personal with lobbyists, and they are special interest groups. You know, you pay them enough money, and they'll sing the way you want, they'll sing the notes the way you want them to be sung.
Right.
You know, with enough money, and I think we have enough people out there that want to. They don't want to lose the control that they have right now.
That's right. They like to use the income tax to pit one group against another for their benefit.
And we would not have, like I said before, you know, 501c3 and c4 would be a thing of the past.
Yep.
You know, we wouldn't have those issues. You know, I can tell you, my friend Don Wallace, he said it would sure make his job a lot easier if we went to the fair tax. He, you know, he's our president of the Alabama Republican Assembly and a CPA, and he travels to all these places in small towns where they don't have a legitimate CPA in their area, and he goes and does an awful lot. I'm telling you, when it gets close to April 15th, he has a hard time, you know, getting any sleep. And,
right.
I mean, it's just, you know, and I think of so many businesses, you know, that are having struggled just to stay afloat, especially small business, you know, with our current tax code. And one of my dearest friends, Neil Daniels, who owns the diner up in Georgia, Kirby's Diner, he talks about it all the time, you know, that he just wishes things would be different. One of these days, maybe we can get Herman Cain to come on and give us his fair, you know, shake on the topic.
He's still stuck on 999.
I kind of went by the way. I laugh, Chuck, because I was on the first. In fact, I put together the first Blog Talk radio show that was nationwide for Herman Cain. And we were Cain Coast to Coast. We changed to Conservatives Coast to Coast after the show ended. We had Rick Perry on. We had Michelle Bachman on. We had Rick Santorum on. And to this day, I have not been able to get Herman Cain that I gave 60 hours a week for one summer for months to come on the show. But we did like 999, but it's pretty much faded into the past, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But we're working towards the end, and I want to make sure that I get enough. We got some announcements we want to make at the end of the show. So we'll pass it to Dan for some quick dialogue, and then we'll run around with some closing remarks.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Chuck, for coming on the show and doing all the work you've done on this. And trust me, nobody wants a fair tax more than I do. I stand to lose a lot of money the way the current tax system is set up through the inheritance tax. My father did some very good investments after I grew up and made a lot of money, and like, I'm looking at 40 to 50% of that going away. And, you know, not that, hopefully I won't collect that for a long time to come, but... you know, it's something to think about. And, you know, when the questions I've asked today were not meant to deter or, you know, but I was just, these are questions that are gonna, that needed to be addressed, because there are going to be some growing pains during the change, you know, especially when it comes to international trade. That's going to be the hardest hurdle that I see. You know, but if we all fight and put enough pressures on our legislators, you know, we stand a chance. And the biggest problem is getting Congress to react and to respond the way we want them to. And
yeah,
the only way we're
that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on with this movie and getting our new AFFT organization spun up.
Right. And we're also going to have to get more conservative members into Congress, so we'll have more people speaking on our behalf than on the behalf of their wallet. And... you know, those lobbyists, as Jennifer said, you know, give them enough money and they'll tell you the sky is purple.
Absolutely.
You know, so I can see us having some hurdles. You know, H&R Block alone. What were the revenues last year? Like $28 billion or something like that?
Yeah, well, they're the best commercials we can have for the fair tax, though.
Oh yeah, but they're also.
You remember the one last? Remember the last one last year? They had the one. I don't know if they're showing it this year, but they show the guy standing there, and there's papers falling all around him. All those forms. You know, there are 2,000 different forms, 2,000 different mechanisms for, you know, taxes that have to be collected or whatever, but through the IRS, and that's just crazy.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I mean, and it's getting worse by the years, and I agree that, you know, this is the way, you know, the our negative people in legislation makes their money, you know, through these tax loopholes and these, you know, behind-the-scenes deals, and we can go on and on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would love to see a flat tax. And if there's anything else we can do, you know, please let us know on that. And, you know,
you're doing it right now. You're doing it right now. One of the themes of the movie is what's happening with the income tax system is that it's morally wrong to take people's property before they even have a chance to use it, and the 16th Amendment is written so that the U.S. government can take everything you have before you get anything. So It's just an immoral tax, and it needs to be done away with.
Well, I'm sure is that taking a lot away from me. I know that.
Yeah, see, that's the immoral part. You know, what is morally right about your dad working and getting all that and using his brain to come up with whatever he did to grow his money like that? Why does the government think they have their hands, should get half of it or more when he passes away? I don't understand that.
I don't either. I mean, it's you know, free money in their pocket as far as they're concerned. And
yeah, that doesn't make it right.
No, I mean, it's totally wrong. And that's why, of course, I have personal reasons, but it's also moral reasons. And
yeah.
One thing that all three of us in on the show, we're all very firm believers in God and doing what's right. And what's going on with our tax code is not right. And it needs to be changed. I mean, we could have one heck of a bonfire with 80,000 pages.
that's a lot of boxes full of paper.
Oh, yeah. And with that, I'll pass it over to Scott.
And I'm sure there's a handful of copies of that sucker sitting around Capitol Hill somewhere, so it could probably be a pretty big fire.
Well,
I want to thank you, Chuck. I'm always glad. In fact, it's been a while since we've had somebody on. We've done John Wesley Nobles, of course, and he's a friend, and we've had a few fair tax discussions. But it's been a while since we have, and I'm glad we did this. You did a great job of presenting it. You know, when we get into issues like this, I always worry how, and I try and approach the show from the person that doesn't know anything. How are they going to understand, and what can we ask, what questions can we ask so that they'll understand? And I think you did a great job of answering the questions so that anybody later on can listen to this show. It goes into archive. It's there permanently. We'll be sharing it in the future as we get closer to the movie so that people can listen in and learn about the fair tax in the movie. But you did a great job. It was great talking with you. Great getting to know you. It's important. I want to mention a couple of things, and then we'll go to our final remarks. We want to remember Thursday night, Conover U. With Rodney Lee Conover and Joe the Plumber. I'm going to start throwing him in there. Joe stayed with us last week as we interviewed Antonio Bronco for a good portion of the show. It was me and Joe. Joe was somebody that I always wanted on a show, and now he's on every week with us. So that's a wonderful thing. We like him. And we will go ahead and set up a time when you can come on that show as well. We've got a little bit different audience. We've got a different promoted audience. And so we'd love to have you come on. I just made Facebook friends with Craig Berman and Judd Saul. I just sent a both Facebook requests and got answers back immediately. So we will spend the next especially couple of months really heavily promoting the show. And we want to remember Friday day is Ladies Bible Class. We're wandering through the Old Testament. Taught Ladies Bible Class in Springville, California for 5 years, and when I got ready to move to Texas, it was the one tearjerker. So what did we do? We got Blog Talk Radio, and the ladies still gather at the same house they used to gather at. I don't get any of the cinnamon rolls anymore, but I get on the phone here at Mesquite, Texas, and we still teach that. We're getting ready this next Friday. We are going to start the Book of Ezra, starting Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, the period of Old Testament return. And then as soon as we're done with that, we're going to go right back to Genesis and start that Old Testament history again. So you can catch us there on Friday. Saturday, Dan and I get back together for Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. We talk a lot about history and the Constitution and our founding fathers and people that have been there and done that. We have a great time with that. And then next Tuesday, Orlean Coley. I'm going to tell you, she's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. She is the person who single-handedly got me to Texas. She is the person that is responsible for American Sovereignty Radio Show. Back when it was Parental Sovereignty, Jennifer and I put this together for the sole purpose of mainly discussing parental sovereignty issues, especially Common Core. We did that a couple of weeks after I had Orlene Kohler on Conservatives Coast to Coast, and I said, we need a show that talks a lot about Common Core. And, of course, it was that discussion of Common Core that made us decide to move to Texas. So I'm really looking forward to this next Tuesday as we talk with Orlene and have a good time chatting with her and reminiscing. And she's been a good friend through the years. She's brilliant on Common Core. She wrote the book on Common Core. She knew about Common Core before anybody knew about Common Core, and she was out talking about it. And thank you, Orlene, for that interview with you and Phyllis Schlafly that started the whole thing, and then the interview that we had with her. So catch us next week on Tuesday. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to you, Chuck. Any last things you need to say, so on and so forth, and we'll pass it around, and then we'll end the show.
Yeah, one of the things that that's brought up is people say, well, how can you make it, how are you going to be able to make this tax revenue neutral? Well, it's in the magic is in numbers. Kind of alluded to it to begin with. When you get rid of the 152 million tax filers, and you go to everybody paying the tax, well then all the money you save on paperwork and everything will help grow the economy, so that you still have the same amount of money coming in taxes. I don't really like the idea of the same amount of money coming in. However, you really won't be able to get the bill passed if you say, well, I'm going to have this bill passed and you're going to collect 20% less or whatever. So it's got to be, you got to have a system that collects the same amount to begin with, so that you can quell all the fears of people that think that it's not going to collect enough tax. And so you go to about 318 million folks paying that tax once you go to the fair tax, and I say 318 million because that's about how many we supposedly are these days. And believe you me, when Johnny says, mommy, I want something, they're going to be spending money, so everybody gets to pay it. Plus you have about 50 million foreigners that visit this place every year. Plus you got another, Mo Brooks told us at one time there's another 100 million on top of that that are here on business and visas and all that sort of thing. So you're talking about a whole bunch of people paying into this tax, so that in the long term I think we'll be able to actually reduce that tax that gets paid, because there will be enough people paying into the pot, and enough people at that time will be involved in their government, because we get involvement because people will look at that receipt and they'll say, wait a minute, 23 cents. Why am I paying 23 cents? God only asked for 10% in the Bible. So we're thinking that human nature will take over and it'll naturally help start getting rid of the spending side of the problem. And the fair tax only goes after the tax collection side of it. We've got to have another argument, another group of folks working to get the spending down. And one final thing, I would suggest that to see what it could be like, the book Fair Tax: The Truth, which we call the Red Book. It's a kind of an orangish red looking book, and it's got Fair Tax: The Truth, Answering the Critics. Chapter 12 is Our Vision of Tomorrow, and it goes in and it starts off saying, everything's been happy, you've been under the fair tax all these years, and now some politician comes along and says, hey, I got a great idea, we're going to do this income tax thing, and here's how it's going to work. So that would be a good chapter for people to read, to get a good idea of what the income tax is now and what it's doing to them, and they don't realize it because we've lived with it all of our lives. There's nobody alive today that hasn't been under the income tax. So with that, I would say that get the folks out to see the movie. And unfairmovie.com, or just unfair to bring it up, and fairtax.org, and even alfairtax.org for the Alabama Fair Tax site.
Well, and we want to thank you, and we're sitting at the last minute, so we'll pass it real quick to Jennifer. Dan.
Thank you, Chuck, for coming on. I'm glad it worked out that you were able to come on the show tonight. And
thank you.
you know, anytime that you want to reach out to me, if you have any new information to give, that we would love to share that with our listening audience. And anyone that has any questions, is there a particular location within their state? If they have, I know there's various fair tax chapters in each state. Is there a national website where they can go to be able to find their locations near them?
We have just as part of this AFFT, the grassroots taking it over. We've revamped the website, so I'm not sure that locating people is up and running properly yet. They've got the site switched over from the original. I think it was on Convio, and now it's on Trailblazer as the provider, and they're working the database right now, and some of the things that were applicable previously aren't working right now, but they're working on all that, and they've got some really good guys working on that. It was a big site, so it's going to take a little time to get it fixed.
Dan?
We got 2 seconds, so. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, guys, and this is Contending for Truth Radio. We're signing off. Until next time, folks, and thank you one more time, Chuck. It was a great show. Thank you, Jennifer Montrose, for putting it together. As always, sometimes at the last minute, some of the best shows come together, and that is what it's all about. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.
Good night.
Good night.